Now, Keith, have you got any outstanding tales of over a ball?
Oh, yeah, several, but the main one was my last flight, the Corsair, towards the end of the war, when I got hit by the jets over a ball.
Was that anti-aircraft? Or
Yeah, it was anti-aircraft. We were strafing, and two of us were detailed to go out from Green early one morning, about 6 a.m. we were due to leave, to go out and just strafe opportunity and things like that. We got held up because the weather was a bit duff. That might have saved my life, but down through St. George's Channel and up the channel up to Rabaul, very low, very low. We were almost just above the waves. And creeping along like that, with the muck around, a bit of rain, and being low, the jets didn't hear us coming. Normally when you go out and you're a couple of aircraft straight, they'll hear you and be ready for you. And you never see any jets. You know where they are, but you don't see any of them. Well, we came through this muck, and we turned inland just about where we were due to go in, heading for a Japanese airfield near a bull. And I'll never forget it. We came at 0 feet across and they didn't hear us coming. We were so low and so fast. And as we swept over the edge of the airfield, over the hedges, and we were right down there, there were Japs everywhere. I'd never seen Japs in a defensive position so exposed. We had our guns, of course, at the ready, so all we had to do was pull the triggers, and we swept along the airfield at ground level, and there were Japs going down like nine pins. Came to the edge, and my number two, he was flying beside me, so there were two aircraft. I was there, he was just the right of me. We went out as a sweep together. Came out of that, and I pulled up. Fortunately, my number two, he went his own way, and I pulled out of that. And I decided that there were so many Japs around, it was such a good tag, that I'd do another sweep, and that was my undoing. You see, I came around all right, and I came down and I swept across the field the second time, and I nearly got away with it. The Japs, of course, had got down or hidden or something. And as I came out of my run, just pulling up off ground level, I got hit on the right-hand side of the aircraft. And the shot came through my right side and just about took my right leg off. So I pulled up out of that and I yelled out to my mate to tell him I'd been hit. And I was going to try to do something about it, and gradually pulled away and got a little bit of height. And we always carried a first aid kit with us. We also carried a shark knife attached to the right hand side of our flying overalls. And this had come through there, and the shark knife had taken some of the impact. My leg had got the rest. Got up, opened up my first aid kit, got together to try to reduce the blood flow of it. And again, I was jolly lucky because this shot had still not done so much damage that it stopped the aeroplane flying. Mm. And normally with Corsairs, they were very vulnerable in the hydraulics. And if you lost hydraulic power, you had all sorts of problems. Anyway, got up in the sky and the thing was all over. And as it would lose control, I'd grab it again, try and settle it again, get back on my leg. Probably took about 10 minutes flying around. Then I called the tower at Green, the Americans were in the tower, told them I'd been hit and we were going to try and make our way back. And you know, they were marvellous. They came back. I was calling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and backwards. And then they'd say, you're so many miles from base, keep steering so-and-so, we'll correct to so-and-so, so-and-so. So I knew they knew where I was. I also knew that I had my mate flying alongside not too far away and he knew where I was. So that if I went down in the drink, They'd know where I was, mm-hmm. and probably, which was very reassuring.
Very reassuring. That's right.
And we had about a 40-minute flight back to Green, and we survived that. And then, of course, I had to get the jolly aeroplane down on the strip, didn't I? And I didn't have a right leg I could use. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. and we'd carried a belly tank because we were due to be away a while, mm-hmm. distance. And I thought, I'll put this aeroplane down on the strip on its wheels up, belly landing. Well, I went to release the belly tank, and because there'd been a few small accidents, they'd put a light wire on the switch just so you had to force it a bit. I didn't have enough strength to force it. So I was stuck with the belly tank. And again, that probably saved my life looking back. I called up the tower again, told them my problem. They said, right, come in whenever you see Green. They cleared all the other aircraft out of the way, came there complete freehand. As soon as I saw Green, I concentrated on the landing, and I bought that Corsair in just about on full power, sitting on its tail, just like the way you see the Concorde come in, you know?
Yes.
Right hard on the ground. I got a chance she might stay there, and that's exactly what happened. It was then, by then it'd be about 9 o'clock in the morning, so the wind hadn't come up much.
Yes.
It was a nice day. And you know that jolly plane, she just hit that, and she just ran straight on the strip. There was not a thing I could do about it. I couldn't use brakes or anything. I thought, oh well, and it stopped before it came to the end of the strip, which was absolutely great. And then, as a little side to it, I couldn't move myself. I sort of looked around, so and I saw the ambulance tearing down behind me. So I thought, okay, well, that's it, I'm here. And then just behind the ambulance, there was a Jeep. And I thought, oh, that'll be the CA to come to see everything right. It wasn't. It was the Padre come to give me the last rites. And the other point about dropping that belly tank didn't occur to me then, but has since, you know. If I had dropped that belly tank and put that thing down on the strip, there was every chance it would have fired.
It was Marsden Mesh, was it?
I can't remember that I've got an idea it was Coral.
Coral.
Yeah.
Green Island was
Coral. Yeah, Green Island was Coral. But, see, if she had fired, I wouldn't have been able to get out. Because the guys in the ambulance came up and they got on me and they said they couldn't do anything with me. And then a couple of airmen, they got them up and they dragged me out of the cockpit and then threw me in the ambulance. We had a young doctor up there, fortunately, and he worked on my leg and he saved it. Yeah. It was marvellous. And another little aside on that, I did not know until a few days later that one of those airmen who jumped up to pull me out of the cockpit happened to be a cousin of mine who was on the ground staff up in Green, and he didn't know I was there and I did not know he was there. How do you like that for coincidence?
Yeah.
At any rate, that was the end of my war. I was flown back to Guadalcanal eventually, and then eventually back to Auckland Hospital. And then a few months later, That was the end of it for me, but it was the day I was coming out of medical on the day the Allies dropped the first atom bomb on Hiroshima.
Yes.
And I can remember being in Wellington and picking up the Dominion that morning and saying to myself, thank God, thank God. We had the Japs beaten, they wouldn't give in. If we'd had to go on and do the job to clean them right out, we'd have all been dead. I'd have had to go back. We'd all been dead. All my squadron would have gone. And all the Yanks, they'd lost thousands. And to think that through that one bomb, the Emperor had the power to say to them, brothers, that's enough. Put down your arms. And they did. I couldn't believe it. I will never forget that day.